ESPN special only on Under Cover Tapes.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to a new UCPN special. I'm your host, Al Mega, and today we have a fellow comic crusader. Yo, this dude is, if you see his Twitter feed, is all about the TVs and the comics and these questions that are just gets you all types, feeling type of ways and getting angry or start suggesting stuff like, what are you talking about, guy? But I'm talking about none other than one and only, the OT, multi-talented Mr. David Taylor II. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, bro. Thank you for coming on, man, because you've been serving some good stuff within the Comic Crusaders chat, but not just there. Obviously, across the social medias, man, because it seems, my brother, that you keep very busy.
I do. I've always got multiple things going on. I'm a writer and I love to write, but I write across different mediums and I write in different genres. But my first love has always been comic books. I've been reading comic books since I was 4 years old.
Four. All right. Let's get into that, David. Wait a minute. Who got your hands on your first comic book and what was it?
Oh, it was my dad. My dad used to take me to the newsstand on the weekends and he'd get a newspaper. And he'd buy me about half a dozen comic books. And my first comic
book. Oh, nice.
One of those early Fantastic Four issues. I'm trying to think because it's a long time ago when I was. Wow. But it was my dad, man. And I learned how to read on the newspaper, the Bible, and comic books. And I still love all three.
Gotcha. Wow.
So
your dad a fan of comic books himself?
Not so much. My father was more an entrepreneur, so he spent most of his energy kind of building his businesses.
Gotcha. But he gave you something to feed from, at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once he saw that I was a voracious reader, then he wanted to make sure I kept reading and kept learning and kept growing. And that's another reason I always try to talk about my love of comic books with other people, because it's such a fun way to expand your vocabulary.
It is.
To expand your mind.
It is.
Like textbooks. So, you know.
I hate that. People find that it's kiddie, but you have multi-talented writers on these books that take you on these trips, just like any hardcover novel would. What I mean?
That's right. And comic books is one of the few mediums where you can deal with life on every level. It's spiritual, philosophical, social. You can deal with different ethnic groups. You can deal with history. With human potential. I mean, you know, that's why I love it so. So I don't care about, you know, people saying it's kiddie, whatever, because it expands the mind.
Listen, people that don't know it's kiddie don't have their mind expanded. That's the problem.
That's right.
All right. So, Dave, let's start getting into this, man, because, you know, I know you have a new tabletop game, but that's a new thing. But let's take a step back over here. Because, you know, you do kids' books. You have a comic book series that you've been trying to push out there, the Nephilim Wars. Uh-huh. Give us some background about that comic book, man, and where you've been pushing it at. Oh, look at that.
Okay, so there's my incredible cover. I love my
little cover. That looks beautiful, man. Who did the art?
His name is Dan McKinnon, someone I found online in a Facebook group, and he's phenomenal. That's why I went with him.
He is, absolutely. Wow. So give us a story about Nephilim Wars.
All right. Well, several years ago, I had an idea for a story about how the war in heaven got started. How did evil start in heaven? How did evil start on earth? Because one of the things you deal with, no matter what your religious affiliation, or even if you don't have any, one of the things we always struggle with is man's inhumanity to man. Why are we so angry with each other? Things like that. And that's universal. That's not particular to any kind of faith. We all got to deal with that.
Yes.
So I started wondering, how did that happen? Where did that come from? So then I started doing a lot of research on angelology and different religious backgrounds. I studied a lot of Jewish background, a lot of Christian faith. I studied some Baha'i stuff.
Okay.
And so I just got the idea of the war in heaven about how it started up there and it continued down here. So I created a whole world around that idea about how the devil fell to earth, how people got involved. And so I have multiple media content in that world. So I've got novels, I've got coloring books, and I've got comic books.
And okay. So that's coloring books.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Coloring books, where you can color the animals and stuff. So that's where Nephilim Wars comes from. Now, for those that don't know what Nephilim are, because the idea completely trips me out.
Okay.
Because people don't understand that superpowers are real.
What do you mean?
I'm about to tell you.
Oh, shit. All right.
There came a day where some angels were in heaven. They looked down and they saw human women. And they said, them women is so hot, we got to get with that. And they left heaven, came down here, and started having babies with human women. And that's where you get the race of giants from. And that's where Goliath comes from, that King David killed with the slingshot.
Gotcha.
Why Goliath was 9 feet tall, because he was descended from a line of people that were half human and half angel. So he had height and strength. That's what I'm telling you, man. Superpowers are real. And so they just don't always look like we do them in the comics. And so I was fascinated by that idea about, you know, if you think about it, in every depiction we see, there are no female angels. So it struck me like maybe this was the first time they had seen that form, because they were so enamored with it. They said, we're going to leave heaven and get with these women. And so they created a whole race of people that are like mutants. They're half human, half angel.
All half breeds.
That's right. That's right. So that actually happened. That's a historical thing, and it's found in Genesis chapter 6 in the Christian Bible. So I wrote a story, but I set my story at the end of the 30th century, where they're like trying to come back. Like they tried it one time a long time ago.
Okay.
And then they're trying to say, well, maybe we need to change our strategy or whatever. I don't want to give away too much, because everything I say is...
I got to. They discovered Viagra and they said, it's time to get it on again.
That's right. That's right. So my book is about what happens when they come back at the end of the 30th century, and how the world responds to that, and how our little cast of characters respond to that, and what it means to be a half-breed, what it means to have 1 foot in two worlds.
So in your mind, the 30th century religion still has a strong stronghold on the world.
Say that again?
In your mind, then, within the story of the Nephilim,
uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Religion has a very strong hold on the world, because you said this is 30th century now.
No, it's not religion. It's practicality.
Practicality. Okay.
Yeah, people have come to the point where, for example, what do you do if you're a child born with wings like Angel from the X-Men?
Okay.
So what do you do if you got little nubs on your back? What doctor do you go to treat something like that? What would they know about that?
Yeah, gotcha.
What do you do when you have hybrid children that you don't have medical science for? So all of a sudden, people started seeing the practical ramifications of what it would mean to create a whole new race of people. And then just like now, everybody doesn't have the same reaction.
Gotcha.
So it's not really based on, I mean, it comes from a biblical source, but it's not based on religion having a grip on the world, but more so, what would it be like to have a whole new class of people on Earth?
And, gotcha.
And do they have rights? And how do they see us versus how do we see them? So it's much more practical and social.
Okay. Gotcha. So where are we at with the book in its current form?
I'm approving. I got all my scripts done. I'm approving artwork. I have some stuff being lettered. So it's all in different stages in terms of me getting it done. But I've been having a lot of production issues, because sometimes, you know, you get people stuff to do and they don't really respect deadlines, or, you know, this got in the way or that got in the way. So it's really slowed down my timetable, because I meant to be done months ago.
Gotcha.
Because I have my scripts done and everything, and I do the storyboards and I do all the character design and I write all the dialogue, but I have somebody professional do pencils, inks, and colors for me and letter.
Of course.
So, but I kind of have to work around their schedule. So hopefully this September, hopefully I can have everything done in the next like 2 or 3 weeks.
Excellent. Well, those are the challenges of an indie creator, Dave.
Yeah, well, that's the challenge of the big two. They delay production all the time.
But they're the big two. They got away with it. They got Disney behind their ass and Warner Brothers.
True, that's true. But, I mean, they just delayed Shazam. They just delayed 3 issues of Shazam for like a month and a half. And then some of them are going to be resolicited. But anyway, so...
What sucks, man? How do you feel about that? Wait a minute. Before you even go on further, how do you feel about that when a publisher... I mean, because you're an independent creator. Would you ever do that? Like, resolicit a book and say, boom, boom, boom? I mean, I know you're having issues, but once you have... you're moving along, and you're on the level of a Marvel or DC. I mean, what excuse would you have to resolicit a book?
I don't know. I can't imagine. I honestly can't imagine what would be going on in the office if you give somebody assignment and all they do all day, every day is write and draw and ink and letter. That's your job. So like you get up in the morning and that's what you do for 8 hours. I don't understand unless there's creative conflict or unless people just aren't respecting deadlines or, you know, sometimes people just flake on you. Sometimes there's not really a rhyme or reason.
Gotcha. Do you think that's the biggest challenge as an independent creator trying to find that core team?
Yes, that's one of them. That's not the only
one.
But yeah, that's one of them because the challenge is always I'm very detailed and I have a very specific vision.
Okay.
So I have to keep searching until I find artists that can bring the life on the page the way I see it in my head because I'm one of those people where I'm very, very detailed. And so if it doesn't translate well the way I see it in my head, because everything I do is a plot point. So I don't just throw it in just to throw it in.
Yep.
So if I say that you've got to draw them and they got to look this way and they have this belt on and they have this band on their arm and they have whatever, that's going to factor into the story. It's not arbitrary.
Understood.
So, yeah. So that is definitely one of the biggest challenges. You got to find somebody who... can see your vision and gets excited about it and is willing to work to get it right. You know, the smart thing to do, because what I always try to pass on everything I know, and the smart thing to do is get yourself an artist that understands sketches.
Got it.
Too many people want to go straight from script to inks.
Okay.
Once they ink it, they're not going to want to redo it. They're going to like, well, you know, that's revisions and that costs more and I don't have time, blah, blah, blah. So what you need to do is work out your stuff when you're still in your pencil sketch phase and be sure that you have very strong storyboards.
Understood.
A couple of artists that do it that way, and I get along really, really well with them, but then that means it's going to take a little bit more time.
But you're going to get quality out of it.
Exactly. I'm going to get what I want, and that's something I'm proud to put on the market.
Absolutely. All right. So you see, you guys, he's also a comic book creator, but just recently he did something new. And I know he was peddling this all over the last con. Yep. And we're talking about soldiers and serpents in RPG tabletop game.
There you go.
Oh, man, look at that. All right, yo. What's this all about, kiddo? You got to put me on right here.
All right. So this is in the same world as all my other stuff. So my first novel details... like how Lucifer became the devil in heaven.
Okay.
So the tabletop RPG picks up right after the rebellion has happened.
So wait, you did a novel ahead of the game?
I did a novel called Lucifer, Soldiers, Serpents, and Sin.
Where can we get this?
Okay, you can get that on my website and you can get it on Amazon. Hold on, I'll get one for you. Hold on, just stay still.
Oh man, we got, folks, see, we got to take a look at this. David is trying to build a whole universe within comics, within RPG gaming, novels and whatnot. So when he gets back, we're going to see a very cool, exclusive look at that. Oh, snap. Wow, yo, dude, that cover looks fire.
Yeah, and see, everything on the cover matters in the story. There's tattoos, there's a hairdresser, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a certain color to the wings. All that matters in the story is very significant. It's plot points. That's what I mean. That's
really
what stuff to look like. Yeah. It explains. See, because the idea for me here was, if you were an angel in heaven, why would you leave? How could somebody talk you into
leaving paradise?
Right, right, exactly. How could somebody talk you into rebellion when you're in the heavenly realm? And this is what Lucifer did. He talked a bunch of his brothers into rebelling. And so this book is all about how. How did that happen?
Dude, how the hell, and the pun intended, did you come up with this stuff? I mean, what led you to go into this direction in your creative nature?
several things about that book. One thing was, on a human level, I always wondered, what would you do if you were the most popular kid in school, and then one day you messed up so badly that everybody turned on you?
Okay.
And what would that do to you up here? And then also, I also wonder, because one of the things that religious people have a problem with is balance. They don't understand that life is not all one thing. Life has balance. That's how you know one thing from the other.
Yeah.
That's how you know what life is, because you know what dark is. That's the way it works. And absolutely. So I wonder what would happen if you were an angel yesterday, and then you wake up on earth and you see your reflection in a pool of water. And now you're this twisted, ugly, gnarly thing. And that's where, you know, when we get involved as humans, we have to make the same kind of choice. And so my tabletop RPG is about that. It's about choice. So what happens in the RPG is, this is set right after that book I showed you, where the rebellion in heaven just happened.
Okay.
Now you've got a bunch of angels running around on different sides of the war. And so there are four archangels in the book. There's Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Ariel. Okay. And so you get assignments from one of the four archangels, and you have to go forth in the heavenly realm and do what you were told to do. But along the way, you're going to encounter a bunch of people that used to be your friends.
And used to be, he goes.
Decide, and now you got to decide, like, what's my choice? Like, am I going to fight? And then also another wrinkle is, you have light side and dark side powers.
Okay.
So in other words, to get your job done, you can use light side powers, which sometimes takes longer, but it keeps your integrity intact. Or you can take a shortcut and you can use dark side powers, but it gives you negative points. And if you get too many negative points accumulated, then you flip and your card flips and you turn into a dark version of yourself.
Okay.
So not only do you have to get your job done, you have to decide who you're going to be while you're getting your job done.
Okay.
Yep.
So how successful were you at the show that you went to when you were, you know, pushing it?
It was good. I had a bunch of people interested. I'm going to do a local live launch at one of the local comic shops here. But what I really want to do now is I want to premiere it at a con.
Nice.
I'm going to see now if I can get in the game room at a con and just like run it all day and broadcast that as well. Because I definitely have people interested, but I want to get like a bigger audience.
So you got to look into, man. You know, I mean, I know New York is coming up, but that's probably too late. They probably got their spaces fulfilled. But check out Royal and Comic-Con in the Northeast. I mean, you know, things are popping, man. You got Mega Fest out here. You got Northeast Comic-Con as well. I'm pretty sure you got local shows in Jersey.
Right, right. So that's what I'm researching now, because I do want to debut it at a con, and I do want to live stream so people can see the game being played. And so you can see people.
Oh, you know what, guy? Here we go. As we're on this pod right now, that's a great idea. We could do a video cast of a game in action.
That's awesome. That would be great.
So you know what? Well, we're ready for this. I got to get the game myself. Obviously, at the end of the program, you're going to tell everyone where to get it so I could get it. Then we could go ahead and set up a game so that way I could learn from the boss himself and hopefully kick everybody's ass.
Yeah, man, because it's we created a unique game mechanic. So it has dice, it has cards, it has the book, but you are not at the mercy of the Games Master or the dice.
Okay.
You control like what happens, and that's kind of unique because most RPGs, you're either at the mercy of the Games Master or you're at the mercy of the roll of the dice. But in this one, no matter what happens, you still get to decide how far you want to go in any particular area.
All right, so let me ask you then. All right, so you coming up with this whole concept you know, of an RPG. Are you yourself an RPG fan, and what was your go-to game that kind of led to your inspiration behind this?
I really like, more than anything I've ever played, I really like Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Okay.
And, I mean, that is just the funnest thing I've ever played in my life. I mean, it's just something where, you know, you can just play. I can play for hours and hours and hours. And I love the idea of really getting into your character and your powers.
Okay.
And really figuring out how to use your powers to solve problems. So that's what I played for hours and hours on end, man, with Sentinels of the Multiverse. And they just, you know, keep new characters coming. They keep new environments coming. So it's ever expanding.
Okay.
But again, the whole meat of the game for me is that you got to figure out, based on the character I choose, how can I use what I can do to solve this problem? Otherwise, we going to die. We all going to die.
Gotcha.
And so I like that idea. I like that idea of, instead of being told what to do, you're given a problem to solve, and then you've got to look. Because, like, for example, the powers in the game are, like, sometimes you have sonic powers, like Banshee.
Okay.
Sometimes you can use your weapon. You can use a sword. You can use a mace. Sometimes you can throw damage points on other people, and you don't have to take the damage.
Okay.
Sometimes you have, like, super speed, because there's different classes of angels. The fastest angels in heaven are the messengers. Those are the ones that are underneath Gabriel. So if you're a messenger angel, you got super speed, you can pop places other people can't do.
One okay. of
them has strength and all that. So you got to use your powers to solve the problems, but it's up to you. You know, you're in a scenario, but you got to figure it out. That's what I like the most.
So you could get easily asked out if you make the wrong move.
Yes, you could. Because you're dealing with your own issues. You're dealing with, sometimes in the middle of a mission, if there's four of you on a mission, one of them might turn and now they're working against you, but you don't know it.
Oh, how nice. So you got some sneaky mofos in this, huh?
That's right. All kind of sneaky stuff going on. So, yeah.
Oh, you see, that sounds intriguing, man, because I've always been trying to get into some type of gaming stuff. I'm not surrounded by folks that are into that. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Unfortunately. Uh-huh. I'm probably the uber geek of my friends, if you will, and even the family at a whole. Unfortunately, I'm one of a kind in my own family.
Yeah, but
I'm
but
so remember, alone, guys.
Remember, man, geeks are the one that changed the world.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. We keep changing the world.
We're the Steve Jobs of the world. We're the Bill Gates. We're the Stan Lees of the world. And even Absolutely. Though it took decades and decades, now comic book movies are a multi-billion-dollar franchise because the stuff that these men created, you know, back in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s.
Ain't that crazy, bro? I mean, you know, how that stands the test of time. What Kirby, a Ditko, a Lee, I mean, so many other names that I can't even remember right now. I mean, there's just so many names in the industry that have influenced it and have just influenced us to this day. Who's your biggest influence artistically or, you know, writing-wise?
Writing-wise, even though I know he's controversial, I really like Mark Waid. I'm not, you know,
he's a gangster, man.
Yeah, no, I'm not making any comments on his politics. I'm just talking about his writing. I love his writing because I love the way he thinks.
Yeah, no, he definitely, you know, he's a very talented writer. Absolutely. His politics, whatever, man. He get into some mess. Just stay out of that for sure. Because we ain't about no mess.
Right. Yeah, I ain't got time for all that. But just the way he can craft a story and the way he crafts his twists and turns and the way he always comes at it from unusual angles.
Let me ask you, have you been checking out his History of Marvel series?
I've read some of it. It's actually been kind of interesting.
So, okay, great. You've enjoyed it. Yeah, man, I've been wanting to check it out. I hope to pick it. I'm going to just wait at this point because every shop I've gone to, number one, has sold out.
Right.
So I'm a collector to the core. If I can't get number one, I'm going to wait for the trade then.
Well, what I am behind on is I want to get House of X. I heard that House of X was really good.
Oh, my God. My God. If you see on Comic Crusaders and or No Prize Podcast, it's a comic they have to cover.
Because
they're saying that it's that good. Listen, this is the return of the X-Men. It's well-deserved. They've been out of the limelight for such a long time. Also, Avengers has been in the limelight because, you know, obviously the movies have been enforcing that limelight. Let's get honest there. I mean, Sony or Fox, whomever, has not been doing a great job with the X-Men franchise. But Marvel's been kicking ass with the Avengers franchise, which obviously has pushed more attention to that. Obviously, because it's also Marvel-based, Marvel's going to push his own brand. But I'm happy for them now that they have access to the X-Men universe, that they're now beginning to push it in comics where it belongs. So yeah, definitely check it out. I know Johnny the Machine used a shout out to my EIC from Comic Crusaders. He's been loving the series. No Prize, again, cannot get enough of the book. So yeah, that's the, again, do you think that finally that they deserve to come back into the spotlight?
Not only that, but I think that if Marvel wants 10 more years of domination, they're the way to go. If you want to put together another decade of films that can capture the attention of the mainstream as well as comic fans, then all you have to do is do the X-Men right, because there's something fascinating about the whole concept. So we've been talking to people, and I've been, well, I won't say arguing, because I don't spend no energy on Twitter arguing. I'm about discussing with people if they want to argue, whatever. But the conversation has been, how do you keep Magneto true to his Jewish Holocaust survivor roots and bring him into 2019? Because he'd be ancient.
Yeah.
Some people are saying it's time to let that go and do a more modern reboot. And some people are saying you can use time travel or you can use slow aging, you know, and then a whole bunch
of stuff. He does have power, so you never know how that could affect his aging, which is true.
Right, right. Well, see, the way I would do it is, I would tie it all together with Krakoa and everything about the first X mission and the first X men and how Magneto disappears at some point in the 20th century. And he finds a place he can go where he can slow down aging, because it's friendly to mutants. And it's the only place on Earth that's friendly to mutants.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Charles sends his first team there and they get all messed up, because Charles is kind of like Tony Stark. He always thinks he knows what's better for everybody else. And Magneto was like, you know, for a while, I let y'all leave me alone. And now here you come messing with my peace and harmony. And when you get Magneto riled up, man, he just started knocking Jokers out. You know, Magneto don't care.
Yeah.
So I'm saying there's many ways to do it, to bring it into 2019 and stay true to the book roots. But I'm saying if you do, like I laid it out on Twitter one day, if you do a trilogy with the original five and then you lead that into the all new X-Men, and then you lead that into the Dark Phoenix saga, and then you lead that into New Mutants and Generation X, that's 10 movies right there.
Absolutely.
You know, and so there's so much rich material there to mine. So that's the way to go and to really do it right if they want 10 more years of domination. The way things are happening now, when you get into splintering the medium and stuff like that, then everybody's not going to consume everything like they do the movies.
Gotcha.
Like all the shows, everybody's not going to watch all the shows. That's going to be, by definition, a much smaller audience. And then, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back for a final year.
Yeah.
That's the new Disney Plus show starting, and they're going to have old content.
Did you hear who? Okay, great. This is the perfect man to ask. So with the She-Hulk announcement, right? Disney has come down to two casting choices. Have you heard who they are?
I believe Ronda Rousey and, I'm seeing her face. She was on Daredevil.
Rosario Dawson.
Rosario, yeah, I'm forgetting her name.
What do you think about that? Good choices? What?
You know, I'm not...
Because Rosario is Night Nurse, like in the Daredevil and everything. Now to recast her as, what, Jennifer or whomever? It's kind of crazy for me.
Well, I'm not necessarily a comic purist meaning. It doesn't have to be like in the books, but I am a character purist.
Yes.
And gender swapping and race swapping never adds to the character. It doesn't make it more interesting. And what you have to do is you have to get behind the original concept of the character, see why they were successful, and then use that as a core to tell good stories.
Gotcha.
So casting, you know, a woman of color, whatever, is not going to make She-Hulk more interesting. If they want to divorce her, because they're also talking about she can't get her powers from Bruce, she has to get them some other way.
That's bullshit. That's the only way she could be She-Hulk. Stop the nonsense.
That's exactly right. Her name is She-Hulk.
Is that cousin of Bruce Banner through a blood transfusion, which makes the most sense. This is just an easy way to, okay, she's She-Hulk because she got the blood transfusion done and it's over.
Well, see, that's what I mean when I say, because I said it today on Twitter, is why you got to go back to the original content creator and study their ideas. For example, Jennifer has a different kind of conflict because she doesn't lose her intelligent mind when she hulks out. So she's still Jennifer, but she's got this Hulk body. But her struggle,
but she's diesel and green.
right. And her struggle is, do I want to give in to my temper? Do I want to be more out of control?
I mean, initially she came out as the Savage She-Hulk because I guess she couldn't understand what she was dealing with at the time.
Right. But they quickly moved her to
the Sensational She-Hulk.
Right. And that's a better version of the character because you don't want to imitate what Bruce is going through. She's more interesting when she's going into the courtroom with a suit on and she's green.
How would and people... diesel.
You see what I mean? And then,
that's not a lawyer. I say, no, you ain't losing this one, Ma. You're good.
Right. The intimidation factor. And then there's all kinds of things, you know, because the government would get involved. And, you know, the government's always trying to weaponize everything. And it just happened with Jennifer. Can it be transferred to other people? Did it happen because they were relative? Because remember, in the movies, that's how the Abomination was created.
Yeah.
Soldier formula mixed with some other crap and blah, blah, blah. So that's what I mean when I say there's some stuff built in there that's kind of more unique to her that I don't think you need to mess with because that's what makes her interesting. And if you get too far from that, then what's the hook? What's the story hook? Because if all you have is a green woman with extra strength, what's interesting about that?
Yeah.
See what I mean? It's the inner conflict of the character. It's the inner dialogue of the character. And it's their particular challenges. Because she, again, is a child of two worlds. And the Hulk, created by Stan Lee, is based on the Frankenstein monster. So Stan Lee read that scene where Frankenstein monster looks at himself in the river.
Yep.
And he's repulsed by what he sees. And then he starts to understand why everybody's afraid of him. Because up until he saw himself, he didn't get why everybody would just freak out when they saw him.
He didn't know he was not a Mac.
Right. He had no game. Right. And so Hulk is the same way, because many times Hulk just wants to be left alone.
All he wants. He wants peace of mind. Leave me the F alone, everybody. I'm just doing my thing.
Right. But people aren't going to leave you alone when you got enough power to level a building with just one. Yep. So anyway, so I'm saying that, you know, it could be interesting, but, and also, you know, I don't doubt Rosario Dawson's acting chops at all, but I'm saying, are we going to believe her as the character? That's always the issue.
Yeah.
You know, when they pick an actor, can they embody the character to the point where we believe them? Because we saw with Iron Fist, that just pick wrong. There's no, we don't believe nothing about that. With Danny Rand, you know, cast poorly, written poorly, and if we don't believe it when we see it, we're not going to get into it.
Yep.
So.
I agree, man, because that Danny Rand for me, I mean, wifey enjoyed the show, but as a comic purist, right. Nah, yeah, he wasn't it.
No.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, he wasn't it, and Netflix don't understand, that's fine, hopefully Disney understands it, and let's see what happens from there. I mean, I saw some announcements in San Diego. Uh-huh. I saw that Black Widow trailer. Uh-huh. Woo! You guys have no idea what you guys are in for. I mean, I was thinking about Black Widow ahead of time. I was like, maybe not. I don't know. Man, when I went to SDCC and I was in Hall H, David.
Really?
And when Kevin Feige said, all right, it's time. And they put on this trailer. Holy crap.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
Just wow. And we will find out about Budapest.
Okay. Now that's going to be good to see.
Yeah, so we're going to find out. And then Taskmaster.
Oh, yeah.
Smokes, my dude. You may have seen pictures and you're going, I can't wait till this trailer drops for you guys.
Okay.
To really enjoy. Right. It's going to be a kick-ass film. I think Marvel's on the right track here, yo. Definitely. Yo, ScarJo and... it's just an ill trailer. That's it. They're doing a great job.
Okay.
Right, so I want to look forward to that. On the as an indie creator, let's go into a little bit of indie comics for a moment, right? And how maybe they translate to TV, because you're a TV guy.
Uh-huh.
I know you love talking about that CW. You always throwing out them that chat about that CW. But before I get into CW, I love it. I love it, bro. This is why we got to bring Sloppy Spoilers back, and I think I want to talk to you more about maybe you hosting that shit, because we got to bring him back.
Okay.
People need to watch more of these shows. But before that, have you watched The Boys?
No, I haven't gotten into that yet. Now, everybody told me I need
to... Have you read the book?
A while ago. I don't remember a lot from it, though, but I do plan on watching the show. Because I work all day and half tonight, so I can only catch up on my shows, because sometimes I'm up at, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, so I'm trying to do my catch-ups.
Gotcha. But,
I caught up with Umbrella Academy, which I loved.
What do you think about that? Because when they first told me that they were not going to renew, and after that last episode, I almost caught a conniption. I was like, what? You can't end this show like this. Are you nuts?
Right. I personally loved it. I read a bunch of different reviews, but I loved Umbrella Academy because even if the ideas weren't necessarily new, they presented them in a very interesting way. You know, some stuff we could see it coming, but some stuff they peeled back the layers of that thing with every episode and kept you hooked long enough to see how the whole thing turned out. So,
yes,
I really liked it.
Yeah, man. All right. So let's get into the CW, because I know that's your baby. Because I see you blasting Flash and Supergirl all over the place. I love it, though. Because my wife, for example, is a big fan of the CW herself, but she doesn't want to do no shows. So let me talk to you right here. What do you think about the upcoming Batwoman show and the casting of Ruby Rose as Batwoman? What do you think about that?
Well, I did a whole video on that, and I talked about the history.
Where can we watch this video?
It's on my YouTube channel, DT2 Comic Chat. I'll send you a link.
Yeah, man. There we go.
I did a whole video on that, because if you understand the history of Batwoman, understand the history of Kay Kane when she was created back, when she first came out, she was actually created as a love interest for Batman, because people were afraid that Batman and Robin hanging out would give the wrong idea.
Yeah.
They created some love interest in him, and that's where Batwoman comes from. And then when they reimagined her, then she became, an open lesbian and all the, the military child and all the stuff she is now.
Yeah.
In terms of the casting, I saw a lot of people talk about different stuff. I didn't particularly care either way, but the stuff that's been turning me off is how she's always smashing on Batman and she's always putting down men, and I'm not going to let a man take credit for a woman's work. And she's
breaking
cave, and she's taking all his gear, and she's taking stuff that he invented. And I keep telling people, I don't care what people say about Batman. Batman was Bruce's idea.
Yes.
Everything else is a spinoff from that, and those are facts, and I don't care who don't like them. So it seems like she's coming out the gate trying to diss Batman, and that's going to divide the audience. That doesn't even make any sense. And so some people have said that she gives him respect, during some of the episodes. But they dropped 2 trailers that made it seem like she was purposely dissing him while taking his stuff. And that's not the way you draw an audience in. That's not the way you make people excited about your show.
Yeah. Listen, I understand for the feminism and all, man. You know, you want the equality, fine, but you need to keep dissing us because not all men are created equal. Not all of us are assholes. You know what I mean? You know, it's unfortunately, maybe the ones in power are, but there are those of us that have no power. We do appreciate the women in our lives. We do know we came from women. Appreciate our moms, sisters, aunts, whatever, friends.
That's right.
So, is you know, this constant bashing is kind of, you know, I get it. But at the same time, like, yo, you know, you're alienating a lot of innocent bystanders, if you will, in this.
One of the things I taught my son growing up was always point your anger at the right source.
Yeah, that's it, you know.
So, you know, it's not all men that's your problem. It's some particular men. But anyway, I don't like the basic premise. Because whenever they do things that are out of character or characters that I know and love, that's what sets me off. So they're trying to promote the idea that Batman has run off and left Gotham.
Batman
would never run off and leave Gotham. So that tells you right there from the foundation, you don't understand the character, and you're trying to make it seem like she's got to come in and fix his mess. And
but listen, at the end of David, we both know, at the end of the day, Batwoman is the show is basically a replacement for Arrow because we already know that Arrow is going to be 13 episodes only for the next season. It's the last season.
Right.
It's going to end during the crisis.
Right.
He made a deal during the last, the season before. Mm-hmm. We know it's not going to be Barry that passes. I mean, you know, the cards have been laid out. It's obviously, this is not spoilers right here that I'm saying.
Right.
So is Arrow that's going to die? Now we're going to get, you know, Batwoman inheriting the Batman mythos just like Arrow did.
That's right.
Let's get honest there. Because Arrow inherited all the Batman mythos. Let's just get a goddamn fucking proper show. And just when Gotham was getting to that point, you cancel that.
Right. If they would just give us what we wanted, a proper Batman show, that would be a ratings hit. But for some reason, they don't want to do that. And so, like I said, anybody...
What do you think, David, here? Wait a minute. Before, you know, you're thinking, you just said it.
Uh-huh.
We want a Batman proper show, and not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's WB standing in its own way of allowing that to happen? What's your opinion?
I think it's numbers. I think that they think they can make more money off of movies than they could off of a TV show. And so they won't allow certain characters to be brought on TV. But if you look back in the past, if you look back at the Adam West Batman show, if you look at Batman the Animated Series, one of the great cartoons of all time, if you look at Lois and Clark, if you look at Smallville ran for 10 years. So I think, you know, see, because one way or the other, we should have had the Justice League either on TV or in the movies or both.
Not after that trailer of the Justice League TV show that they attempted many years ago. Did you see that mess?
No, not that one. Not the goofy.
Yeah. Martian Manhunter looked like he ate a couple of Martians.
Right. Not with the bad cosplay, but not that one, no. But I'm talking about there's so many things like, you know, if I was writing The Flash, I just talked about it today. If I was writing The Flash, I would have him meet Billy Batson. I would have him meet the Marvels, you know, because they have so much in common.
Yeah,
and his power comes from a kind of science, and Billy's power comes from a kind of magic.
Yeah, you
know, talk about, you know,
magic is science that we don't understand.
And they can talk about the philosophical. There's just so much good stuff that would happen there. But I'm saying,
love it.
It would just take a few small tweaks to make a huge difference.
Oh my God, you just made me think. Has they ever done like a Shazam Flash team up? Because could you imagine how much more power Flash's speed could get with a Shazam boat?
Right, yeah. And yes, they have. They've done it more than once. And the debate goes back and forth. Is Captain Marvel faster than Flash? Because Captain Marvel comes from, you know, the god Mercury. And Flash's power comes from the Speed Force. So the question is, you know...
Is the Speed Force from Mercury, though?
Well, you know, they've retconned it now to say that Barry is a Speed Force and he's the one that started it. And he became the lightning bolt that gave him his own power. So it's just kind of like a big loop.
Gotcha.
So, and now they have other different forces going as well. So they've kind of taken the mythos in a different direction. But the point I'm trying to make is that it would take just a very small amount. But see, I've had so many ideas. For example, if they did, we could, even though it would sound crazy, we could take a Wonder Twin show and rock that.
I'm pretty sure.
Because the CW is the perfect place for a show like that.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? And I heard
that it is
doing Stargirl. I don't know if they're going to keep doing Stargirl. But there's a whole bunch of things we could do to
well, get Stargirl is coming. Harley is coming, which is animated, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, we're seeing things coming together. So, I mean, that DCU app is again going to be, you know, probably worthy.
Well, what I've liked on DC Universe has been Titans. I love that first season of Titans.
Did you like this first episode?
This first one was so bad, I just had to shake my head. I was like,
you didn't like Trigon?
No, that was like, it was like the Matrix Revolutions. It's like you had all this big setup, and then we see this thing, and we scratching our heads like, what is that? What did, you know? So they dropped the ball on that one. But hopefully things can pick up with some other episodes, because it was everybody standing around talking. Yeah. I keep thinking, when they get under Trigon's spell, that Donna's going to whip out the lasso, because it's a lasso of truth.
Yeah.
Just rope some people and make them come back to who they really are. But no, they're just standing around talking. And then if Raven...
Politicking.
Right. If Raven had the power to do that to her father all along, then, you know, why did she do it? And I saw her mama's death coming, and it was just... I'm just sitting up there looking at that like, really? Really? But that first season was really good, and I like the characterizations except for Starfire, but I like everybody else, and I think it's got a lot of potential. And also, I finally finished Doom Patrol, and Doom Patrol, I've never seen anything like that. Doom Patrol was a trip.
It's a sick show. It's a mind F, to the core, trippy, just like the comic book was. It's like, this was a very great translation, in my opinion. From a comic to you know, see it on screen. It was fun.
I like anything where you can't guess what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And with any episode of Doom Patrol, whatever you were thinking, they can come around a corner that you weren't even anticipating, and you can still be like, wow. And
Brendan Fraser, right, as the robot? Awesome, man.
Yeah, but I mean, one of the best things they did, especially with Rita, is they didn't give them all their powers all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to work through the fact that they're monsters and they're broken. Then they have to try to take their brokenness and use it in a heroic way. And I think they did that idea better than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, with Rita especially, because she's probably the most broken to me out of all of them.
Well, I think Jane is the most broken.
Oh, no, but Jane is just, for me, she's just bad shit crazy. What? Yeah. Well, all those multiple personalities, she is intense. Yo, she's definitely the show. But when I'm saying broken, it's like, well, you know, Rita really has this, you know, look what she turned into from what she was. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So she has this very personal challenge to really overcome. I know that Jane is insane, but I think she really kind of enjoys that multiple personality factor, even though you kind of, they try to show she don't, but I think she has fun with this shit. Because she's crazy Jane. I think, you know, bottom line, she enjoys it.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. It's not like she's trying to really get rid of everything that's going on. She's just trying to manage it.
Mm-hmm. Which is
the same thing. So the only thing I really missed was Beast Boy. I really would have liked some episodes with Beast Boy, because I know he left to go to the Titans, but I would have wanted to see him.
Yeah, he started in the Doom Patrol. I mean, it would have been nice to see him actually start there and see the transition to Teen Titans. That would have been awesome. I agree 100% right there, bro. That's
exactly what I wanted to see. I wanted to see him out there with the team, and then he transitions over to the Titans or whatever. And
then it makes sense for a crossover in the future.
Right. Plus, you know, I don't know why they keep trying to make Cyborg everything but a Titan. Cyborg is a Titan. You know, they keep trying to put him on the Justice League, and they put him on the Doom Patrol. They keep trying to take him everywhere. I'm like,
damn, man, you asking really? You know why they doing it, bro. You know why they're doing it.
Yeah, I know.
You know why they're doing it, and I'll say it, man. You know, they want to use the token minority. Hey, look, we do have a minority on this, what initially was an all-white team. Right. You know, come on, just stop the nonsense. You know, he's a tie-in, it's fine. If you want to put somebody in the Justice League, just, you know, make somebody new. fuck can we tell you? He's a Titan to the core, man. That's where he's from.
That's where he's from. That's where we met him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he deserves an upgrade, sure. But you know what? Stop forcing it.
That's right.
You know, I agree with you. It feels very forced. I hate when they try to force it. Just let it happen naturally, you know, when it comes to even mantles. You know, if a character is of X race, you know, you don't just pass it on to somebody just because. Just make sure they deserve it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. When you try to force a character into a situation, regardless of ethnicity or gender or whatever, people can feel that. And when it's not organic, it just has a high cringe factor, because every time they're on the screen, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you're forcing this and I don't feel cool about it.
Right. Yeah, you're trying to make me love the character, or you keep trying to show how important they are or how they're smarter than everybody else. And I'm like, no, it needs to be organic.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's why characters with more definition, like Robot Man or Crazy Jane, they have more definition. You know what their struggle is. You know what they can and can't do, but they can still surprise you. With Cyborg, they keep writing him a little bit more open-ended, and that's where you get into a literal, you know, deus ex machina, a literal god of the machine, because if you could just come up with a new software or upgrade a new tweak and all of a sudden you can do what you need to do, See, that's going to get on people's nerves.
Yep. It does, man. All right, David, we're coming up on time here to make sure. So let's get into this. So if people want to first check out Nephilim Wars, where can we subscribe to keep up to date?
Go to my website, davidtaylor2.net.
Okay. And can we also go there to keep up with Soldiers and Serpents?
Yes. And you can go there to order. You just get on my contact page, and I have a contact page for any list you want to get on or how to get in touch with me or to order the games.
All right. So when we order either the book or the game, what's the turnaround time on shipping?
Turnaround time for the games is about 2 weeks max, 10 days, 2 weeks.
Okay.
Then the book orders depend on whether or not they're just like solo books or bulk orders, because I work a lot with libraries and schools.
Okay. But
you still try to keep everything inside of the 2 week range so you don't have to wait a long time.
Gotcha. And if we wanted to follow you on social media as well, where can we check you out and stay up to date on that?
Follow me at DT2 Comics Chat. That's my initials and the number 2, and then Comics Chat on Twitter. That's the one I'm on every day. And then I also have a DT2 Comics Chat YouTube, which I will send you the link for, because I've definitely made some videos talking about the same stuff.
I want to add this definitely to the podcast link, so that way people could definitely check that out.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, like I said, man, I'm up, you know, most of the time. I'm working most of the time, and so I don't can't always make all the videos I like, but I do like to get my 2 cents in on Twitter. You know,
all right. So I want to say this here. I've got offered an opportunity to check out the first 4 episodes of the new Netflix show Seis Manos. And since I know you love shows, I'm thinking of putting together a stream where a couple of comic crusaders could get together, watch it together, not stream it, because we're not allowed to do that. But watch it together, then review it. Would you be down as a TV fan?
Yeah, that would be fun. That sounds really interesting. It would just have to be on some kind of schedule so I can build it into my schedule.
But definitely. I'm going to let you know, man, because if you know, there's one of those first Latino animes, if you believe it. We got Danny Trejo, but we also got Mike Kotor. We have I forget her name, forgive me, from a Spanish novella in Mexico. We have a very diverse, big cast that has actually been around. Okay. Doing the voices. So this is going to be a fun show. It's vampires, it's zombies, it's martial arts, it's anime. I mean, what else can you ask for?
Wow, no, that'd be great. I've talked to Danny Trejo on Twitter. I'm still trying to meet him in person, but he's the coolest guy.
Well, I saw him. I couldn't approach him because in the San Diego Comic Con, you know, dude, that show is so busy. I don't know if I've ever been there, but
no, SDCC is like people are all over the place. Yeah.
It's nuts, and we have New York Comic Con coming up,
right?
And so thus far, you know, hopefully you'll be gonna be able to check this out on ComicCrusaders.com. All right, I have opportunities to talk to Impractical Jokers once again. the Runaways cast, if you will.
Yeah.
Impact Theory has a couple of things going on there, releasing the graphic novel for Neon Future.
Okay.
Ooh, so I'm going to talk to Steve Aoki on that Sunday of New York Comic Con. However, they're also going to announce a new book by DJ Don Diablo and Michael Morrissey on that Saturday. So okay. We're going to get a new... Because they have this approach about using celebrity to promote comics.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and they come up with great ideas. So let's see what happens from there. Are we going to see David Taylor maybe pitching at New York Comic Con or anywhere soon? Where are we going to see you next?
At some point, I'm getting my schedule together. I may go to WendyCon in the fall, but I'm going to try to make both C2, E2, and Wizard World with a
awesome
table so I can have my stuff with me, my games, my books, my novels.
Oh, my gosh. Please let me know when you're ready. You know, Comic Says is going to bless you, let people know where you are at, because they got to check out Nephilim Wars. They got to check out Soldiers and Serpents. They got to check out everything you're doing, because it sounds, first of all, hella fun and hella deep. Like, I want to get into this, so I want to definitely purchase a copy of the game and then play with you live.
Okay.
You could do a live stream on that. You know, if we could do a two-hour game, I know, you know, based on what you said, it looks like it could take all night and probably.
Oh, no, we actually structured it so you can have game links, whatever you want. So we have scenarios that you can play and finish in an hour or two.
Oh, word. Nice.
Then we have a five-hour level, and then we have a continuing game where we keep it going.
You're the game master, my brother. So, you know, I'm going to be held at your mercy when shit pops off, and hopefully we can have more Crusaders on it. So, everybody, with that, make sure to please follow David Taylor II on his website, his social media. Check us out. I know we've had trouble on our website the past few days, but it seems that we're getting back on course now that I've gone through the troubles. Listen, being an entrepreneur ain't easy, guys. So with that, I'm Al Mega, CEO of Comic Crusaders Undercover Capes, and this is a UCPN special. Thank you for listening and watching. Up till next time.
This is an Undercover Capes production.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit ComicCrusaders.com, UndercoverCapes.com, GeekreviewMagazine.com, and our newest venture, SplinteredPress.com.